our Saturday night outreach when we do lots of activities. We're trying to reach these young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to get out there. And the thought that struck us many, many times has been this. Just even in recent days. You know, the Lord said, follow me and I will make you what? Anybody know? Fishers of men. Yeah. To be a good fisherman, where do we have to go? We've got to go where the fish are. And that's what we're trying to do. We're seeking to reach out into Portadown, into Craigavon, and the different areas like that. And we're just really putting these up tonight to ask you, will you pray in August, from the 6th to the 12th of August, will you pray that the Lord will come down in a mighty way? Our brother Nathan's going to just show us a few slides, and then we'll leave it at that, and we'll get into what we're really here to talk about tonight. Sometimes our brains can just go numb, and it's a bit hard to think and to concentrate. So we want to really concentrate tonight, and we want to concentrate most of all, not on me, because you get sore eyes doing that, I want to concentrate on what the Lord has to say to us tonight through His precious Word. I'm going to use a few pictures up. We're going to use a few verses up on the screen. But I want you to try and guess, just to get ourselves woke up, okay, and get our heads in gear. That whole black area up there, okay, is a picture in behind that. Anybody going to have a guess what that would be up there? A sunflower? He's nearly there, but not quite. You may find us growing in the grass. Daisy? No, it's not me. Yes, Daisy, okay, yes. They are. Why did I think of that one? Well, I was playing football the other day. I can't play football, but I was having fun anyhow with my son Daniel, and we were kicking football, and the thought just came to my head, look at all those daisies all over the place there. You know what my garden's like now, it's where I take a lot of care in it. But I just picked one of them up after I played football, and I went and sat down, because I was coming to think about what I was going to say on Sunday night. And if you look at that flower. Well, we actually call it a weed, don't we? But I don't know what the Lord would call it. I don't think He would even call it a weed. But you know what? It's amazing just to look at that. And the closer you look at it, you can see God's handiwork all around us. If you count the many tattles in that, you count in the middle then. I looked at it and there was all these wee... I always used to think of Daisy was just made up of wee round. That wee yellow thing in the middle. There's a whole lot more to it than just that wee blob. It's all made up of fine wee strands. And it's amazing to see the detail and the intricacy of God's creation all around us. I'm amazed. What about the next one? What's that? Pair of socks. Not quite, Colin. I don't know what your socks look like. Especially after they're worn. But there you are. That was a plane. Okay. What have we up on the screen now? Anybody going to tell me? What is this guy up here? Come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. There's no trick questions, okay? Anybody going to tell me? What do you think? American soldier. He's definitely a soldier. How do we know he's a soldier? Well, if we look at that man, we can see he has all the armor on him. He has the headgear. He has the body armor on him. He has the camouflage gear. He is dressed as a soldier. And we can tell right away his identity. Seeing him just at a glance, he is a soldier. If we even take it to another level, we can look at it and we can look at his arm, and that might confuse us a wee bit because we see all these flags. But right at the very top, we can see, if we look closely there, you can see the American flag, and we can tell from that he is an American soldier. He wears his identity on his shoulder. I wonder, does that make us think tonight about ourselves? How do we see ourselves? Maybe even more, how does God see us? What is our identity tonight? I want to take a wee look at that. We want to take a look at a few things around our identity. What is your identity tonight? I want you to be challenged tonight about that. No point in me challenging you, but I trust the Lord will challenge you tonight, and it'll challenge me also to really think about who I am, what I am, and where are you headed in life. Up there is a few pictures of a number of young people that we have been working with over this past 3 years in Portadown. We've had the privilege of working with many of these young people through different activities that we've been doing with them. But each and every time that you do the activities, you get the amazing opportunity to share the gospel of Christ, the hope of the gospel to these young people and teenagers. As you look at those tonight, perhaps you would want to put up your face there tonight. I haven't time to take all your pictures, so sorry about that. But maybe if you had your picture up there, are you just a face in the crowd? Or are you more than that? I want you to really think about this tonight. Who you really are. Are you just one of 6.5 billion people in our world. 6.5 billion. Are you just one of all those people? And it's just, as it were, a mass of people out there. And you can think to yourself, so what? Would God really know me? Would I? Would he want to? We'll think about that tonight as we go through. We want to take, as I said, a wee look at identity, who you are, who am I, and ask the Lord just to challenge us tonight to think about that, how most importantly he sees us. Here, we'll go back on a wee journey, okay? Right back, way back to where our lives began. Very often, as many young people, even in our schools today, we're told that, you know, your life began when you were born. When you were born in the hospital, that's when your life began. What do you think? Is that when your life began? Or did it begin before that? Because on a lot of different fronts, whether it be in school, whether it be in, through the media and television and all sorts of things, we've been hit with this, that, you know what? Your life began then. So that means then, if your life only began when you were born, okay, then abortion must be okay. That's what the world's telling us. Just go ahead and have that and move on with your life. We all know the reality of that, that many, many people that do experience that, have lots of different regret. And we know that way back, the Bible talks about when our life began. I'm going to talk about a man very, very shortly, a man by the name of Jeremiah. And God talks about his life. I'll just read it to you in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you've got your Bible with you, just flick to it. And just give you a wee backdrop to the story here of Jeremiah. The Lord had called Jeremiah. And up on the screen there you can see before the Lord said in verse 5 of chapter 1, "Then the word of the Lord come unto me, saying," verse 4, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And then if you read down after that, God had chosen him. God knew all about him, he said, and he wanted him to be a prophet. And Jeremiah, he put up all these excuses. "Oh, I'm slow of speech. I'm only a young man. I'm only at all these different things." But God knew all about him. And if you read that story, it's really, really encouraging to see how his life developed. But the amazing thing I want to leave with you tonight is that God knew him before even he was born. And that tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God himself sees life as being precious. At the very point of conception, that's when life began. That's when the journey of life began. And as young people, we need to know the foundations of where life began. We need to know a lot of different issues about that. Because we know then that even there's pictures of the baby in the womb. I think of David, even as we talk about this tonight. David said in Psalm 139, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully," word means amazingly and wonderfully, "uniquely made. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Very often we hear of young people and they feel that life isn't really important. In some cases out there, I live in a village of Laurel Vale, and just in Laurel Vale, in 3 months there has been 3 suicides of young men in Laurel Vale. And that tells me that a lot of young people are feeling life is not worth living. Life is not worth it. Perhaps they've heard all this before, that they've heard the story before, that, you know, you're only one in so many billion people in the world. You are only a lot of matter. You happen by chance and all sorts of things. You're no longer loved, and maybe that's how they feel because they've been told this so many times. But there the psalmist David said, "I will praise thee. Praise the Lord, for you were fearfully, wonderfully, and amazingly made." And that's just to set the tone tonight, because it's important that we realise that God does see you special, and he sees each and every one of us special. Because sometimes you can say, even sitting here, perhaps some of you are Christians, perhaps some are not, but you're maybe sitting here tonight and going, like, me, unique? You know, does God really care? I like to think way back and keep it in simple terms. Anybody remember when you were at Sunday school or children's meeting. And did you ever hear and sing a wee song with those words in it? Anybody remember that? Anybody as old as me or even older? Yes, it starts off with that. Exactly right. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Not some of them, not one or two of them. But all the children of the world. And what does he say as well? Red or yellow, black or white, all are precious in his sight. There's no class difference in God's thinking of things. They're all precious in his sight. And you sitting here tonight are precious. Why are you precious? Well, there's some evidence that God has given us. What about that? That's a fingerprint. Well done, Philip. 10 out of 10 for observation. But if you were to look at that fingerprint tonight, with a lot of stuff that's happening, and perhaps Colin could tell you a whole lot more about it, for I don't know a lot about it, but Colin could tell you there, in the whole world of security and crime scene investigations and all sorts of things going on in this country and all over the world, they keep a database of fingerprints. But if I write and send that, Colin, that's as far as my knowledge goes. Okay. 6.5 billion people in our world, as I said before, and everybody has a different fingerprint. That makes you pretty unique. Now, think about that in the terms of God creating you. He created us amazingly, wonderfully made. Isn't that an awesome thought that God created us, all these people in the world, that we can't even count up the numbers that there are in the world, and he made us all with a different fingerprint. He made us with the iris of our eye is mapped different as well. Some machines now, and you can actually put your face in. Doesn't break usually, but you put your face in and it can tell the map of your eye, because everybody apparently is different. The iris of their eye are different as well. The DNA, if you took a hair out of your head, apparently that's different as well. The DNA is different as well, and that's what they're even using to solve murder scenes and all sorts of scenes as well. Isn't our God a great God? Don't we serve a wonderful Saviour? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very often we think all these things and we forget to give him praise. Just to praise the Lord. Sometimes we can be so, we want to be reverent, but very often we don't express ourselves to the Lord. Because the Lord loves praise. And if you look through the Psalms, you can see how the people praise the Lord. And he encourages us to, everything that has breath, to praise the Lord. Very often we perhaps sit and we don't praise the Lord when we should do it. You know what? We're unique tonight. Even more than that, we heard tonight, even in our service before, that we were bought with a price. We're born in sin. We're still born in sin. We are unique. We are all different, but we are born in sin. It says there in that verse, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God or honour God in your body. Bring glory to him. I always think of I don't remember many of the catechisms, to be quite honest. I have a bad memory, so I'm just being honest with you. So if there's any Sunday school teachers here, don't despair. But I did remember the first one, and the first one was, what is man's chief end? Anybody know it? Well, go for it. Who's going to tell me? You're all whispering it. Here, I'll give you 10p if you get it. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is what? And you remembered it. To enjoy him forever. To glorify God. To bring God glory. Man's chief end, number one purpose, to bring glory to God. Sometimes we forget about that wee bit at the end, don't we? What does that say? To enjoy him forever. In other words, if we're enjoying our salvation, if we're doing what it said in that chorus there, it talks about, in the chorus that was open tonight, it talked about joy. See, in the Bible it talks about the joy of the Lord as our strength. And if people, I'll not even read the Bible, you know what? They'll read your life, and they'll read mine. Wherever you're at, wherever God's placed you as a wee missionary for him, if you know him as your own personal Saviour, he's placed you somewhere. And he wants you to bring glory to him. And he wants you to enjoy him forever. That's for all of God's eternity. Because you are bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed at Calvary. You know, we are a privileged people tonight. And if there's anyone here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, you can know him. He's only a prayer away. All things pass away when you ask the Lord into your heart and into your life. You know what happens as well? All things become new. You know what? To me, that's a new identity. We have a new identity in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. all things become new. You're no longer just someone there, a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. But remember, you're now a Christian. Think of the word Christ at the start, Christian. A follower of Jesus Christ. That should be our number one aim, our number one goal, that new identity in Christ. Forgetting about all the other things that makes you, you, and makes you unique. You are now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great responsibility. Up on screen's a scary picture, okay? Very often in our world, okay, that we live in, things can seem very simple, things can seem harmless in themselves, but very often the devil himself will paint a picture of something being like the bright lights, like perhaps the nightclub, perhaps a lot of other things that we're going to chat a wee bit briefly about. And as young people, you can look at those things and go, whoa, that's what's all happening. I want to be there. I want to be part of that. That's all happening over there. Everybody seems to be having fun, so I'm heading that direction. But sometimes everything isn't as it seems. What do you see up there? A man. A man with a funny face. Yeah, or a scary face, maybe. Do you see anything else? I see Irene laughing here. She sees it maybe more. Tell you. Okay. I actually thought it was Colin in about 10 years' time after doing all those camps. But take a closer look, okay? Anybody see it now? We'll narrow it down a wee bit for you. Anybody see anything else? No, everybody laughing. Put your hand up if you see it. Took me about 2 days working it out, but anyway. Once you know, you can see it right away. It's pretty good to know, isn't it? Anybody see anything else? It's funny when somebody tells you, you can kind of just go, how did I not see that before? I'll give you a wee clue. If you look up there, there's actually two people up there. And if you think of Romeo and Juliet, okay, they're actually up there and they're actually giving each other a wee kiss. Can you see it now? No? Right, I haven't more time, but it could take a whole half hour to look at this. I'll give you a wee look at it and I'll point it out to you later on the screen, okay? So if you want to know later on, come up here and you'll see it. But what I'm saying tonight is that very often if we look at that face, all we can see is a picture of the old man. But in reality, there's a hidden two people in there, okay? And the world that we live in is very much like that. The devil paints a picture, and very often we look at it, and unless we're really trusting the Lord, unless we're using all the wisdom that the Lord gives us, we can fall into different traps, each and every one of us. I want to read to you from the scriptures. If you could turn again just to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John chapter 2 and verse 15 to 17. It tells here, I'll just read the first verse to put it in context. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see that wee word there, it says in 16, the lust of the flesh. Sometimes the lust of the flesh, we can be constantly looking for that next physical, as it were, high. Very often we're searching for a higher high. And there's people in our world tonight and they're restless. They haven't got Christ in their life. And they're searching for that higher high. They're looking for those desires and those things that are not going to do them any good. The lust of the flesh. It also says there, the lust of the eyes. And we think about that. Sometimes people get a craving for things that's not going to do them any good. And it's not for their good. It's going to actually bring them down. Bring them into sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And the last one there is the pride of life. And it says there, is not of the Father. Some people, we can become obsessed with me. It's all about me. It's what I can get, what I want. Sometimes people see, I like, and I want. And that's not good either. Do you know anywhere else in the Bible where it talks about that? In the Ten Commandments, it talks about it. I'm going to refer back to that very, very shortly. But some of the temptations that are out there are up on screen. Our brother Chris Killen could tell you a whole lot more about it, and he probably has. But alcohol is definitely a big temptation out there for many, many young people. There's drugs as well, but alcohol is the greatest of all of those drugs. Number one, we could say, for young people, maybe video games and the media and TV and all the stuff that's out there. Maybe people say, well, sure, what harm is there in a video game? And, well, just to think about the content of some of the stuff in the video games, can that influence us? Can that put pressure on us? We'd say definitely, definitely can. A lot of the video games now are 18 rated, and many of us know the reason yourself for that, because a lot of the content is not appropriate and is definitely going to destroy the mind, and is definitely going to have a big influence, not for good, unfortunately. What about this? What about Bebo, the internet? Is it good? Is it bad? What do you think? Very, very easy sometimes to come along and go, you know what, see, I'm not talking about Bebo now, but I'm talking about the internet in general. It's very easy to come along and say, see, the internet, terrible, disgusting, rubbish, throw it out the window. Very easy to say that. And yet, like a lot of things in life, there can be a lot of good things in it that can be used, and can be used for the greater good, can be used for the Lord. Because probably, maybe even in your church here, you're maybe even using the internet to broadcast services all over the world. So that's something that the internet can be used for. But we need to be careful what we let into our minds. And think about that. What are you letting into your mind? What are you looking at? Perhaps I could throw up here, maybe if that was your page on the internet that so many young people have today, would you be excited about showing it up there on the big screen? Or would you be going, oh, no, don't show that. Can't let everybody see that. No. Not my parents, or not people in church. No, can't do that. So just want to challenge you with that tonight. If that was yours and it was put up there, how would you feel? Because if you feel embarrassed about it, if you feel awkward about it, chances are there's stuff in there that's not for your good, that's not bringing glory to the Lord if you're a Christian. So wee verse up there, just leave it with you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or pure or lovely, of good report, get into all those things. What does it say? It says, think on those things. Does the devil want you to think on those things that are good, just, pure, all those things? No, definitely not. He wants you to think about all those other things that can do you harm. He has a plan for you. He definitely has a plan for you. He wants to take you to where you don't want to think about. We're going to talk about that very, very soon. Before we move off this, the camber pressure. The camber pressure out there. Young people, I know there is tremendous pressure today in relationships. Sometimes the talk goes in school can be, what? You're not in a relationship. You haven't got a boyfriend. You haven't got a girlfriend. And there's all these pressure on. And perhaps you're saying to yourself, how do I handle the pressure? Do I just go and wait for the first person to see that comes along? Do you think God's plan for you as a Christian? That you just go out with somebody? Definitely not. Up on screen there can be, as I said earlier, there can be a lot of pressure. I want to think about that even tonight. What does God want for you? God wants His very best for you. It's very often, if you take the devil's bait, if you just jump at the first thing that you think is going to take the pressure away, if you give in, if you have a line and you cross over that line, there can be a cost. And very many young people in our land today are experiencing the cost of relationships that have got messed up, of relationships that perhaps have become more physical than really about true love, really than about all of those things that make and build a relationship. The trust, the respect, the commitment, all those things are things that can build a relationship, but many are taken, trying to short circuit it. And God says there is a cost. He also gives us boundaries, boundaries for our good. Does anybody know any boundaries? What boundaries does he give us in the Bible? Any boundaries? Sometimes people think these boundaries are just for God's just being. He just doesn't want you to have a good life. He just wants you to be in a wee box. God doesn't want that. God gives us the Ten Commandments. They're boundaries. He tells us things in that. He says not to commit adultery. Why does he say that? Is it just to say, for the sake of saying that? No, because he knows it's for our good. If you break trust, perhaps it says, it does say as well, it talks about coveting, all these different things, and wanting and lusting after all, so many things in the commandments. And yet it says, if we covet after those things, is it going to be for our good if we get them? Chances are it's not, because another relationship is going to be broken up, so it's definitely not a good thing to covet. And that's why God gives us the Ten Commandments, for our good. God wants the best for us. And that includes relationships, and that includes all those areas of our lives that sometimes we want to put in wee boxes and put to the side and say, Lord, I'll give you all my life, but I can't give you that wee bit. Because that wee bit there, that's just for the weekend, just for that wee time, or that's whenever. We can't turn the clock back in our lives. But you know what? You can make different choices in the future. Every day we make choices. In relationships we make choices. Sometimes we regret things that happened in the past. And there can be regret. I regret things in my past. I'll be honest with you tonight. But you can make a new start. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a new start. Where are your choices taking you? Are your choices taking you closer to the Lord? Are they bringing you closer to him? Are you bringing glory to the Lord? As the First Catechism actually tells us. Or are you sitting here tonight and perhaps you've been challenged? Because that's not what's happening in your life. Your life is taking you further away from the Lord. It's taking you further down a path that you don't want to go. I want you just to think about that tonight. I'm just going to finish. Up on screen, just a second there ago, sin can take us further and can take you further than you ever want to go. The tragic thing about it is life, as our brother said earlier on, in life as young people, I'm not young anymore, but I wish I was. But in life as a young person, you can think, I have the whole world in front of me. I'm going to go to Australia. I'm going to do all these things. And then when I get older, I'll maybe settle down and I'll maybe go to church. Or I'll maybe see what all this thing about God is. Maybe that's the way you're sitting here tonight. But you know not what a day may bring forth. I just want to leave that with you, because if you don't ask the Lord into your heart, perhaps time is running out for you. Who knows what a new day will bring forth. There's a heaven to gain, and there's also a hell to turn away from. For those tonight that perhaps are sitting here tonight, and perhaps you are, I'm very conscious that time's almost up, and perhaps tonight you have been living for the Lord. Perhaps in relationships you've been living for the Lord, and you're waiting on that person that the Lord has for you. And it's incredibly difficult. It's an incredibly hard thing to do, and maybe you're getting frustrated. But you know what? Keep you following the Lord, because he has someone there for you, if that is his will. Keep trusting the Lord. I'm not just talking about relationships. I'm talking about all the temptations maybe in your work, and you're seen as the odd one out, and you're the good living one. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to keep going and keep trusting the Lord, because the Lord will encourage you each step of the way. He will help you and keep you at it, for you don't know where the Lord is going to take you. I'm going to finish with this. What's that I have in my hand? Don't you tell them. What is it? Is everybody going to sleep? Favour? Favour. Right. Who wants it? Any hands? There's a man right at the back wants it. There you are. I'm telling you. Who wants it now? Anybody? You see, I see if you were all about 12, 13, there would be 100 hands up in this room. All wanting it. You know what? If I was to take that there and I was to throw it in the mud outside, wave it along the grass, throw it all over the place, stamp on it, jump on it, brought it in, held it up, and if that was £100 note, who would want it then? Honestly, I would say every hand would still be up. You would still want it. Why is that? Why, even if that was crumpled up, if it was spat on, if it was through in the ground, if it was rolled in the mud, and it was £100 note or a cheque for £1,000 with your name on it, you would still want it. Why? Well, if you look at that, that is still £5. Okay? It is still money. It still has worth. And even though you have messed up and you have gone places, you have done things, and you've said things that you regret, and that you feel that there's no way back, God looks down tonight. You know what? Your life may be like that crumpled up £5 note. Or if that was £100 note, that could be you. But you know what? You are still worth £5. You're not worth more. You're not worth £5. You're priceless in God's sight. Priceless. He wills that none go to a lost eternity, but all come to Him as their Saviour. You are precious tonight. Don't let anyone, the devil especially, will want as a young person to tell you, you are hopeless, you have a failure, you're a loser, you've messed up, and there's no way back, and there's no hope. Well, there is hope tonight. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's my identity up there. My identity is in Christ. Where's your identity tonight? If your picture was up there tonight, where is your identity? Are you in Christ, or are you not in Christ? Because there's only two places that you can be. You can either be saved, or you can be unsaved. Where is your identity tonight? I would trust and encourage you tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, meet Him tonight. Ask Him when you go home. Ask Him before you go into your life. I tell you what, He'll change your life. He'll give you new priorities. He'll give you new things. He'll even perhaps give you new relationships. And He can take you places that you never, ever, ever dreamed of going. I never dreamt I would be up here, standing talking to other people, even older than me. Never in a million years. But God is so good. He's faithful. He will be with you if you ask Him. There's the verse I'm leaving with you. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve the Lord of this hand and be with Him for all eternity. You're going to serve the devil and go to a lost eternity. It's simple tonight. I know what choice I've made. Who will go? Perhaps we'll take it another step further. Maybe you are a Christian in here tonight. There is a million opportunities out there. I'm not joking. I exaggerate it when I say that. Colin could tell you. Colin here could tell you. Loads of older people in here could tell you. There's never been opportunities like there has been today for young people to serve the Lord. You can get on a plane, you can go to Africa. But you know what? You can walk out this door and you can walk across the road to young people all around us in all the schools, and they're out of Christ and they're going to a lost eternity. I wonder tonight, are you challenged? Are you challenged? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to take Him at His word and follow Him? He tells you, I'll make you fishers of men. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord. It's really hard. And people can tell you it's not easy. It's really, really difficult. And sometimes working with young people, working with teenagers, it's difficult. It's frustrating. But you know what? It's totally worth it. Totally worth it. I can say that tonight from the depths of my heart. It's totally worth it serving the Lord. There was a girl that was murdered way back a number of years ago in America in a school in Columbine. You maybe heard a lot of the stories about it. You heard, perhaps read the book, Rachel's Tears. That girl, Kathy Burnell, she had said a few weeks before she had died, she had said, in her diary she had noted down, she said, the Christian life is hard and difficult, but totally worth it. And that day she was murdered. She went from here to be with the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to serve Him. I want to hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Is there an amen? Do you say amen? What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a wonderful thing that He's done. He has saved us. He has set us free. And this world is just temporary. It's going to pass away someday. Praise the Lord, we have a home in the sky. I wonder, are you building for it? Are you going to fill it with furniture, are you? Or are we just going to go to that big empty mansion? I don't know if it really says that in the Bible, you know. But sometimes in my head I think to myself, I want one that's furnished. I want to bring more people with me. I want to bring people with me. And I know tonight I have a lot of work. I'm work in progress. Definitely the Lord's working with me, and He's challenging me. When is He working with you as well? We're never going to be perfect until we get there, but let's strive, and let's go for it, and let's get out there, and let's turn this whole country upside down to the Lord, for He can do it. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Trust the Lord has challenged all our hearts tonight. We're just going to give a word of thanks for the good things provided and close our meeting. Philip will be